5772. And the Credit Law Center will work to increase you to a legitimate credit score up to 720 on the legal record of every credit reporting agency. That's 800-543-5772. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772 now. It's legal, it's cheap, and we all know our credit score rules our financial existence. Our experts are waiting to help you. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772 now.
In the Utah desert, NASA test-fired the rocket that will launch humans on long-range missions such as Mars and asteroids.
One, fire.
And we have ignition of NASA's Space Launch System solid rocket motor. Power.
And with that, NASA completed its final ground test of the Space Launch System's booster before it takes flight in 2018. The Space Launch System is NASA's follow-up to the shuttle program and is designed to one day take astronauts deeper into space. And those boosters, like the one tested today in Utah, will provide most of the thrust needed to escape Earth's gravity. Engineers now have the task of analyzing data captured by more than 530 sensors during the two-minute burn. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
IKEA is recalling 29 million chests and dressers. They can tip over too easily. Six kids have been killed, three dozen others injured. The company is offering a refund or a kit to anchor the chest to a wall. IKEA's Lars Peterson says they no longer sell that furniture.
We have stopped selling all the products that are not meeting the voluntary industry standard in order to make sure that we actually are doing the right thing.
Included in the recall, IKEA's Mom line. Composer and songwriter Mac Rice has died. He composed Mustang Sally for Wilson Pickett and co-wrote what became the biggest hit for Stax Records. The Staple Singers version of Respect Yourself. His wife, Laura, says Mac Rice died at their home in Detroit after a bout with dementia. He was 82 years old. This is ABC News.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to National Tax Helpline, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Take down the number now for the Tax Helpline. 800-805-1055. That's 800-805-1055 for free information. 800-805-1055.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Time for another check of the local satellite weather forecast here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. And the weather this hour, it's brought to you by KOAL BargainBin.com. Today, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs reaching into the mid-90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with lows dipping around 67 degrees. And tomorrow, we have a chance of showers at about 40%. We'll see highs into the upper 80s. Quick check again of the local satellite weather forecast brought to you by KOALBargainBin.com.
New car warranties are great until you read the fine print.
The car's making strange noises, but it's still under warranty.
You're not covered for strange noises.
I'm not?
No.
What good is a warranty if you can't use it? We offer full and fair coverage of all our cars and extended warranties that are good for miles down the road. Tony Basso, GM, 1355 Carbon Avenue, where everybody gets a great deal.
Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values are all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. Here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And wow, just some devastating news throughout the national sports scene as far as the passings, of a couple of legendary coaches. We'll start by one that it's just hard to put into words what Pat Summitt meant to the game of college basketball, a game of basketball in general. Unfortunately, earlier today, we had the expected news that Hall of Fame coach Pat Summitt passing away at the age of 64. She had dementia and Alzheimer's and I guess you could say it was expected. We talked about it a bit on the show yesterday. Her son, Tyler Summitt, had said that all the loved ones had convened, expecting the worst. When you look at Pat Summitt and the legacy that she will leave for, you know, her coaching and college basketball in general, no doubt about it, not becoming a prisoner in the moment, looking at things realistically, she is the most significant figure to women's college athletics. Not just women's college basketball, but women's college athletics in general. And because of her, we look at women's college basketball today in a different light. You know, we talked a lot about UConn's women's basketball team and Gino Auriemma and what they have accomplished. Without Pat Summitt, there is no UConn. I mean, she was the original leader of a team, of a women's basketball team that had the pull of the Lakers and the Yankees and the Cowboys. You tuned in to watch the Lady Vols. And I got to work in Division I women's college basketball for about 2 years. And this was towards the end of Pat Summitt's coaching career. Throughout the entire country, everybody looked to Pat Summitt and what Tennessee had accomplished as the pinnacle. She wins 8 national championships, which at the time of her retirement was second to only John Wooden in college basketball. Gino Auriemma has since surpassed that. But what she accomplished and the way she coached the game, I mean, second to none. And, you know, we always talk legacy. Look, to me, there's 4 college basketball coaches that will be in the realm and a field of their own. John Wooden, Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma, and Mike Krzyzewski. Those are the 4 coaches that, in my mind, it's synonymous with college basketball. Very sad, the passing of Pat Summitt earlier today. She was 64 years old. She won 1,098 games at Tennessee. And it was about 3 years ago, 3 years ago, we had her son, Tyler Summitt, on the show. I was so excited for that interview because at that point we could not get Pat Summitt on, so Tyler joined us and he talked a little bit about his mom's legacy, about her health, talked about the Pat Summitt Foundation. It's only right that today we're going to replay that interview. Great stuff. Tyler Summitt, when he joined us here on Drive Time Sports, at that time he was the assistant basketball coach at Marquette, so we'll get to that in just a bit. Also, some sad news coming out of the NFL. NFL defensive guru Buddy Ryan passing away at the age of 85 years old. Influential defensive coordinator, died today. Again, he was outspoken, coached in the NFL for 26 seasons. He was known for building some of football's top defenses, and it's no surprise that Rob and Rex, they come from that old school mentality, that thinking of defense wins championships. Obviously, they were a student of their father. Houston Oilers fans, you're always going to remember the sock on the sidelines, go and get it with your offensive coordinator. But all in all, Buddy Ryan, terrific defensive mind. Led the AFL in defense in his first season on the staff of the New York Jets. They then shocked the Colts in the Super Bowl 16-7. Yeah, Buddy Ryan, he had a hand in that. So just a very sad day, saying goodbye to 2 legendary coaches. And we'll definitely talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. Let's dive into the national sports headlines outside of Coach Summitt and Coach Ryan. I mean, what else matters in the national sports scene today? Major League Baseball, there's going to be a full slate of games later on throughout the night. It's that time of the year where you get baseball pretty much all day. No day games today, though. We get Texas at the Yankees, the Mets at the Nationals. We'll get Miami at Detroit. The Indians travel on the road to meet Atlanta. The Reds welcome in the Chicago Cubs, and then Boston on the road to take on Tampa Bay. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6:10 tonight, Minnesota at the White Sox. The Brewers will play host to the Dodgers. Julio Urias, the 19-year-old phenom, will be on the mound for the Dodgers tonight. St. Louis at Kansas City. That's Michael Wacha going up against Yordano Ventura. Love that matchup on the mound. Toronto will be at Colorado at 6:40. J.A. Happ going up against Eddie Butler. Philadelphia at Arizona. The lone game in the 7 o'clock hour. Start time is set for 7:40. Zach Greinke is on the mound there. Tim Lincecum will take the hill today for the Anaheim Angels. I'm not going to ever refer to them as the Los Angeles Angels. They're the Anaheim Angels. 8:05 tonight start time there. Pittsburgh will be at Seattle. That's an 8:10 start time. Baltimore at San Diego, again 8:10 in the nightcap tonight. It's Oakland at San Francisco. Quick rundown of what's happening in the national sports scene. Again, we're going to replay that interview when Tyler Summit joined us on the show talking about his mother and what it was like growing up with one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time as your mom. That's such a unique scenario. It's such a different type of interview. You know, I've talked to several guys who grew up with their dads coaching, but your mom, it's just different. Pat Summit was truly a pioneer, and that was one lady that could have coached at any level, men or women's. In fact, there were NBA teams that tried to lure her from Tennessee. She made too much money at Tennessee, and she had a dynasty. Why would you believe that? She could have coached at any level. Great interview with Tyler Summit. We're not going to play the whole interview, just about the eight, nine minutes where he talked about his mom and his mom's legacy. That's coming up on the show. Also, we're going to talk some high school football. Coach John Famalo of the Emory Spartans will join us. He'll talk about his first offseason as head coach of the football program. That's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Helper American Legion baseball team defeated Price 20-1 last night to complete a season sweep and also improving their league record to 6-0 in the process. Helper dominated as they accumulated 21 hits, including two home runs by Cole Fawcett. Anthony McClain pitched three innings on the mound, gave up just one run to record the win. Zach Bradley pitched the final two innings, giving up just one hit. The loss for Price dips them to 2-3 in league play, meaning that they will play two pivotal games against Vernal on Thursday on the road. Helper, in the meantime, will have a chance to clinch a playoff spot as they return to the field tonight at home against St. George. Start time for tonight's game is scheduled for 6 p.m. Sticking with baseball, the Cal Ripken Little League season will continue throughout the week as teams from across the state will meet in Beaver to decide a state champion in five different divisions. Carbon County will field seven teams that will compete in the five brackets. Carbon will have two teams compete in both the 10- and 12-year-old brackets. All tournaments will work in the form of true double elimination. John Vasquez is managing the 8-year and younger squad from Carbon. Nate Wilson, the 9 and under. Carbon will have both an A and B team in the 10 and under bracket. The Carbon Blue manager is Shane Henry. The Carbon Black is Ryan Peterson. The 11-year-old team is managed by Mark Emerson. And there will be two Carbon teams in the 12-year-old division. Matt Tallarico is managing Carbon Blue. Josh Villa, Carbon Black. You can get a full list of schedules and times in the brackets at CastleCountryRadio.com. Switching up sports, local mixed martial artist Cody Bunderson will meet David Nuzzo for the World Fighting Federation's bantamweight title on Saturday, August 27th in Chandler, Arizona. Bunderson is a perfect 3-0 during his professional MMA career, winning two of his bouts by decision. Most recently, he defeated Ryan Landis by submission in the first round in November. Bunderson was scheduled to appear on Fierce Fighting Championships Justice at the beginning of June. However, a cancellation in his opponent prevented the fight from moving on. Bunderson's opponent in the title fight, David Nuzzo, enters with a record of 4-1, winning his last three fights. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, Bunderson was a guest, and he talked about the opportunity in going toe-to-toe with Nuzzo.
He's fought in the World Series of Fighting. You know, I mean, that's the show, you know, basically below the UFC. You know, there's a lot of fighters leaving the UFC to look at other shows like World Series of Fighting and Bellator, and he holds a victory in the World Series of Fighting. You know, the guy's dangerous, but I'm going to be ready, and I really like the matchup, and I think that, you know, my tools are going to be just a little bit better than his that night, and look forward to bringing home a belt to Carbon County.
The World Fighting Federation is a prestigious promotional card, and Bunderson says he realizes a win here could be huge for his fighting career.
It could be a huge thing, you know, especially against a guy that's already held a victory in the World Series of Fighting, holding that bantamweight title. I mean, it'll, you know, put me definitely on the radar as a top bantamweight, you know, possibly in the country. So I'm excited to see what happens after that.
Bunderson is the owner of Fierce MMA in Carbon County, and owns Fierce Fighting Championship, which he says is expecting to return with a new card in September.
We're going to be back September 24th out at the fairgrounds again, and I really fed well. You know, everything went smooth. There was some awesome fights. There was one fight in particular I think people are still talking about.
Yeah. And,
Dustin Jones and Carson Anderson fight. I mean, those guys, just that was a slobber knocker. It was a complete slobber knocker.
You can listen to this complete interview with Bunderson by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. And speaking of MMA, there's some exciting news regarding UFC, as the promotion will hold its first ever event in the state of Utah on August 6th, featuring a main event between Yair Rodriguez and Alex Caceres. The event, again, will take place August 6th at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Tickets will go on sale June 30th. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston to the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with three employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it. The real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Utah National Guard, aired by the Utah Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Some very sad news that broke earlier this morning. that Pat Summitt, the winningest basketball coach in Division I history, same woman that uplifted the women's game from obscurity, passing away at the age of 64. Her son, Tyler Summitt, who we're going to talk about here in just a moment, issued a statement this morning saying that his mother did pass away peacefully at the Cheryl Hill Senior Living in Knoxville, surrounded by her loved ones. He said, quote, "Since 2011, my mother has battled her toughest opponent, early onset dementia, Alzheimer's type, and she did so with bravely fierce determination, just as she did with every opponent that she ever faced. Even though it's incredibly difficult to come to terms that she is no longer with us, we can all find peace in knowing she no longer carries the heavy burden of this disease." Again, that was Tyler Summitt, the son of Pat Summitt, releasing a statement earlier today. We could sit here and talk about the resume of Pat Summitt, which is unbelievable. I mean, she won 8 national championships at Tennessee. And it was about 2 years ago, we had her son, about 3 years ago, actually, we had her son, Tyler Summitt, on the show. And he talked about his mom's legacy. It was one of the interviews that I was so excited to get on the show because I've always had just a great deal of respect for Pat Summitt. Outside of John Wooden, I believe you're going to be hard-pressed to find another individual that has had the impact on young lives and to the development of the college basketball game than Pat Summitt. I mean, seriously, in my mind, there's John Wooden, there's Pat Summitt. She was so crucial to the development of women's basketball. And I read a piece earlier today that stated that every college women athlete owes Pat Summitt a great deal of respect. And I agree with that completely. Now, I mean, we could talk about the resume. Yes, it's unbelievable. Dominated the sport in the late 80s and the 90s, won 6 titles in 12 years. The only school that she ever coached won titles in 87, 89, 91, 96, 97, 98, 2007, 2008. A career record of 1,098 and 208. That's in 38 seasons. Plus, she had 18 Final Four appearances. That is unbelievable. She announced at 59 that she was diagnosed with early onset dementia, and so she was forced to walk away from the game at 59, which is still very young. Now, at the time of her retirement, she had 8 titles, and that ranked behind just John Wooden. Since then, Gino Auriemma has passed Summitt since she's retired. And obviously, when we talk greatest coaches in college basketball history, Gino's mentioned in that list, rightfully so. But the only coach that could ever make him sweat, that's Pat Summitt. I don't know that any coach has made a bigger impact on the court and in the lives of others than Wooden and Summitt. That's as elite as it gets. John Wooden is the king of basketball. Pat Summitt is the queen of basketball. And you can't convince me otherwise. Now, we did have Tyler Summitt, as I mentioned, on the show about 3 years ago. He joined us for 2 segments. The bulk, though, of what we talked about was his mom's legacy. Now, at this time, Tyler Summitt was an assistant coach at Marquette. And he talked about what it was like growing up with Pat Summitt and, of course, the Pat Summitt Foundation, which has now raised over $2 million in creating awareness for dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm going to play part of that interview right now on the show. I think it's only right. Again, Tyler Summitt from 2013 here on Drive Time Sports talking about the legacy of now his late mother, Pat Summitt. First up, being the son of Pat Summitt, one of the greatest basketball coaches to ever live, I'm sure that you were born and bred with the game of basketball.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, I have great knowledge, and I'm so blessed to have that. I have so many great mentors to thank for that. But then, you know, my mom and my mentors always took it a step further than the court and the X's and O's, and it was a life lesson. And that's what I truly learned, not only from my mom but others, but just that everything on the court, it transfers over to life. And if you can be successful and disciplined and work hard on that hardwood, you're going to succeed in life.
What was that like, Tyler, growing up with your mom, of course, always being on the road? I know it's more than a full-time job being a college coach with the recruiting and everything that goes into it. Aside from that, seeing your mom have such success pretty much throughout your entire life, being one of the most successful coaches we've ever seen, what was that like?
You know, it was honestly just a blessing, and being able to grow up in the atmosphere that I was, I probably will never fully appreciate the things that my mom did, not only for women and women's sports, but just for the world in general. And I think that it was such a blessing to me, and you know, I'm honored to be able to go through and everything that she had me to do. And one thing that it did have me do is grow up quickly. and I had to act like an adult when I was 10 years old at banquets and on recruiting trips and on the end of the bench and in the locker room instead of at sleepovers. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
One of the stories that I remember reading from your Outside the Line story that ESPN did, when you were cut from your basketball team at a very young age, your mom come home, she seen you crying, she gave you a talk, and Tyler, you did mention in that story that it stuck with you, and it was very uplifting, and it kind of led you to where you are today.
It did. You know, I was in sixth grade, and I thought that everything would be handed to me because of my last name, and I think that lesson still sticks with me today. And the lesson was that I was going to have to work for everything I got. Even if my name got me in the door, that I would have to work for it. And I think, you know, with Marquette, it's a prime example. I'm 21 years old. My name might have got me in the door. But I think that I worked hard. And the head coach, our head coach, Terry Mitchell, told me that, you know, this was Tyler getting the job. Not Summit getting the job, but Tyler getting the job. And that lesson has definitely stuck with me.
How did the pressure, how did that affect you growing up? And even today, I mean, obviously you got a name like Summit, you got that legacy throughout the family. I'm sure that's something that will always hang over your head.
You know, I think you can look at pressure as an ally or as an enemy, and I really do look at it as an ally and use it not just for me but for our players here at Marquette. And, you know, I grew up where pressure was a good thing, growing up with, you know, going to the Final Four almost every year, and those pressure-filled games, I really see it as a fun challenge. And that's something that I was asked on my two head coaching interviews this past summer at Chattanooga and Coastal Carolina. They were asking me how I was going to deal with the pressure. But I think, you know, I really thrive on pressure.
Tyler, what game stands out to you, maybe not necessarily the biggest win, but the most compelling win that you witnessed as a youngster on the bench with your mom?
You know, I go back to the 1997 season, even though I was young and really hadn't had a lot of experience, I can still remember the 10 losses before that we went into the NCAA tournament and then winning those games to go all the way to the national championship and win it. And it taught me something that I was continually taught my entire life. It was that every single possession matters. Every single possession in a basketball game matters. And even though we go into games where we're the big underdog or the big favorite, you still got to treat every single possession like it's that national championship game. And that's what we try to do at Marquette. And again, to apply that to life, every single day matters. And even one step further, every single hour matters. And not to waste it, as John Wooden said, you know, make every day your masterpiece. And I really think that those games instilled that in me.
Tyler, let's continue to talk a little bit about growing up with Pat Summit as your mom. Obviously, it's very difficult to keep work at work. When Tennessee would lose a big game or a game that probably irritated your mom beyond words, what was it like when she would come home and cook you dinner, come home and be that mom to put you to bed?
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, my bedtime lullaby was my mom's voice screaming at the television some night. So, you know, it definitely came home with her. But I just saw her passion for what she did. And not just X's and O's, but it really, truly making young ladies better and helping them improve and wanting them so badly to improve. And so, you know, growing up with that at first, I didn't understand how so much went into one game. One 2-hour segment, but now I really do understand that it's all about making people around you better.
Let's talk about your favorite players at Tennessee while you were growing up. Who were some that stand out to you, and in your mind, who was, you know, top three, top four as far as the greatest players to play underneath your mother?
Well, you know, I think everybody will name the Candace Parkers, the Schmeichelholz Claws, and everything. I just, you know, I truly still respect the players that were very talented but also stayed so, so humble. And I, you know, I could point, again, to Shamequa, Candace. I think Tamika Catchings is an incredible example of somebody who's very modest but very good. And I think that's, when you get that character, it's hard not to like somebody. And, you know, I love every single one of them, and it really is a Lady Ball family.
In August of 2011, your mom had announced that she was diagnosed with the early onset of Alzheimer's disease. First off, for you as a son, growing up and seeing all the work that your mom had put in and knowing the extent of what this disease could cause, I'm sure that was just a very trying time for your family as a whole.
It was, and you know, we had a great support group. I have had my girlfriend and wife now, Andy, really supporting me. We had my mom's great group of friends supporting her, and it was initially a hard time, but something that my mom taught me is to, one, trust that God has a plan, and then, two, focus on what you can control. And we couldn't control the disease. Doctors still cannot control Alzheimer's, and so we focused on what we could control, and I really, took the leadership role in helping my mom out, and just a testament to her that she prepared me to do so. And, I think we're taking one day at a time, and again, that just goes back to the lessons that she taught me.
38 years at the helm at Tennessee, all of a sudden that is gone. Well, what was that like for your mom in that first season, just not being around the team, actually being someone that could stay home and watch from TV? What was that like for your mom? How difficult was it?
Well, the one thing she tried to do is stay very involved. So after she stepped down, she became head coach emeritus and is still head coach emeritus. So she will still go to practice, go to all home games. And so she really loves the relationship part. And so to still be able to go to practice, still be able to go to games, still have great relationships with the players. I mean, I've been there before over Christmas break when she walks into a Lady Ball practice and all the players just smile because they see her and they love seeing her. And I think that really does make her day to be able to go to that. And as well, she comes and watches Marquette play. And Terry Mitchell, our head coach, has been so great about having her be a part of the Marquette family as well. So my mom is still very much involved with basketball and relationships, trust me.
How is her health today?
It's good. I think if there's no change in Alzheimer's, that's a good thing, and I really do not see a big change. My mom and I talk every day, if not twice a day. We text every single day, and the one thing is she's just so happy. She has her two yellow lab dogs, and she has all of her friends down there in Knoxville, and she just stays so happy where she's at. And I think she's finally gotten some pack time for golf and swimming and things like that that she hasn't had, and I told her that she earned it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, Tyler, have you got that call from Mom yet asking what in the world were you guys thinking at this stage in a game?
Well, trust me, the lessons aren't over. And, we had a tournament in Las Vegas over this past Thanksgiving, and my mom was there, my wife Andy was there, and then also my mom's Olympic coach and main mentor, Billy Moore, who coached at UCLA, was there. And Billy is one of my main mentors as well. I talk to her every single day. There were some times where they looked at me and like, you got to get your best player the ball a little bit more often, things like that. So it's so great to have mentors, and I think they taught me to take constructive criticism, and so I would love all the feedback that I could get from them, and I'm just trying to get better every day.
One quote that you do have, you said, "I'll tell you one thing, my mom's the last person I'd want to coach against." I'm sure that sentiment still is alive today, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just so much respect for what she does and what she stands for. And I think the biggest thing that my mom did that now I see how hard it is to do in a world of coaching and what seems like cutthroat at times is the character. It's doing things the right way. And I just think that's how she stayed so steady for 38 years is her character and never compromising on her standards and values.
38 years at one position with the amount of success that your mom was able to produce. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. Really, when you take a look at it in the world of basketball, Tyler, there's John Wooden, there's Pat Summitt, and then there's everybody else.
Well, I'm so proud of her, and you mentioned John Wooden, absolutely, a great mentor for my mom, and they were friends, and, obviously I've read his books and tried to learn from him. We have so much respect for all of the coaches out there, and everybody works so hard, but yes, I don't think I'll ever be able to fully comprehend what my mom did throughout her career, not just for basketball, not just for Tennessee or for women, but just overall. And, so very proud of her.
Last question, Tyler. We definitely have to talk about the Pat Summitt Foundation. You're a co-founder, also a board member, and I know you guys do fantastic things with the Pat Summitt Foundation.
Absolutely, and that's something that my mom wanted to do, and it goes back to her principle of focusing on what you could control. And we couldn't control Alzheimer's, but we can control what we did with it. And creating the Pat Summit Foundation with the help of so many others and the support of so many, it's been great. And it really has kick-started. And we're so excited about where it went and where it is going. And if anybody listening would like to go to PatSummit.org to check everything out, we would very much appreciate it.
Again, that was part of an interview that we had here about 3 years ago on Drive Time Sports with Tyler Summit, the son of Pat Summit. I definitely wanted to play that again and hear Tyler talk about his mom. A terrific segment. And again, Pat Summit, one of the greatest college basketball coaches to ever live, passing away at the age of 64 earlier today. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk high school football. Coach John Famalo of Emory High will join us right after this.
It's time to invest in your drive. Hi, this is Jesse Nilsson, owner of Gin Auto in Huntington. Quality is what drives our dealership, so our goal is to make a lifetime customer with every vehicle sold. Drive to Gin Auto for peace of mind in your investment. At Gin Auto, you will find the quality pre-owned vehicle still under warranty while saving thousands compared to brand new. Call our dedicated sales team at 687-AUTO or check our current inventory at ginautosales.com. Gin Auto, providing a quality drive for our lifetime customers.
Hello, this is Governor Gary Herbert. 6 years ago, when we faced the challenges of the Great Recession, Utah rebounded with the strongest economy in the nation. With the private sector leading the way, facilitated by lower taxes and eliminating unnecessary government regulations, over 200,000 new jobs have been created in just the past 6 years. I believe that we must now meaningfully elevate the quality of education in Utah. We simply must better prepare our young people for the jobs of tomorrow. That will require greater investment in the classroom. And thanks to our expanding economy, we've already begun by investing $1.8 billion in new money for education. It will also require greater involvement from educators and parents at the local level, where all important education decisions belong. Together, we created the nation's strongest economy. And together, we will build the nation's strongest education system. That's the Utah way.
Paid for by Herbert for Governor.
Juice, Mom. Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store? Mom,
I want juice.
Mom.
Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy.
Juice, juice, juice.
Mom.
Juice, juice,
juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. That's right, the car seat. A car seat isn't one size fits all. You have to have the right seat based on your child's age, weight, and height. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. But there's a website that gives you all the information you need. Safercar.gov/the right seat. You'll find out about types of seats, when to have a seat rear-facing, when to switch it to forward-facing, when it's time for a booster seat, and when it's time for your child to ride in the back seat with a seatbelt. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat. That's safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Football edition of the Coach's Corner here on the show today. Well, we're going to be getting these more and more frequently as the time continues to pass. A couple of weeks ago, we had Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos on the show. He talked a little bit about the offseason workouts. Today, we're going to bring in Coach John Famalo. Coach Famalo entering year one as head coach of the Emory Spartan program. They traveled to Manti over the weekend to participate in a 7-on-7 camp. Carbon High was also at that camp as well. So Coach Famalo is going to talk about that, everything else going on at the school. Coach, it's great to hear from you again. Thank you for taking out the time today.
Hey, not a problem. Appreciate you having me, Jordan.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. It's already the end of June, which means that the season's about a month and a half away. I know it's gone by in a hurry. How's the offseason for the team gone so far under year one of your tenure?
It's actually been good. Like you say, we've done a little bit of spring stuff, but, you know, I try to implement that when I took over. So we started actually in April and probably could have started a little bit earlier. I didn't take over until then. And so we got started in April. We had a lot of kids that, you know, that were doing other sports that still got involved in our weights as we tried to get going. And so we transitioned now into the summer program, and time's flying by. We're trying to crunch in as much as we can before the season starts. But overall, we've had pretty good numbers, and, you know, it's been pretty fun so far.
Well, obviously, it's going to be a little bit different than what it was under Coach Jones. In your mind, what's been the biggest change that the kids have had to endure during the offseason with you being the head coach?
You know, really for me, I'm putting a lot of accountability on our seniors. I'm trying to kind of helping them step forward a little bit, take a little bit of leadership and accountability for not only themselves, but, you know, the players below them. You know, we're trying to build a little bit of a tradition and some, I guess, tradition set in a way that, you know, we're led by, again, our seniors. So that's what I'm kind of instilling and trying to get going with some of the things that we're trying to do. And, you know, you can kind of see it now. The kids' brains are churning a little bit. And, you know, it's not only me that's, you know, getting after them. It's other kids, you know, getting after kids. And not in a bad way, in a good way, kind of motivating kids to try to do better and, you know, be there when we've asked them to be there. And so that's kind of things I guess we try to change. And not that it hasn't been in the past, but, you know, that's really, I've tried to emphasize that my seniors, those are the kids that are going to lead us into the battlefield. And, you know, they're going to need to take charge.
Has there been anyone in particular that maybe you've reached out to and asked for some advice, maybe somebody who has some experience as a head coach, or has it kind of been something that you've just consulted with your assistants on?
I really consulted with the assistants. I mean, I talked to Coach Jones a little bit before he left, and, you know, his big advice to me was, you know, you can't know it all, and, you know, you know, when he started, he said he didn't know very much, and he had a lot of success with just a little bit of excitement and enthusiasm with kids. And so I'm hoping that, you know, with the inexperience that I have and X's and O's will make up with hopefully the enthusiasm we build with the kids and getting them just to play hard, you know, with a lot of it and to focus on their assignments. And, you know, that's honestly what I'm trying to do.
It's a unique situation because not only was Coach Jones here for so long, but you still have pretty much the entire coaching staff intact. So it's not like starting from scratch. I know I hate to compare situations, but I mean, here at Carbon High, we've had so many coaches in this area over the last 3 or 4 years. It's not really the case. It seems like it's more of an easy transition for you guys at Emory.
No, honestly, it has. It's been kind of nice. Again, we have a lot of the same guys, exactly in the same group that we had with Coach Jones. And so that transition, not only for me and the coaches, but for the kids, there's a little bit of consistency there on, you know, how the kids react with the kid, with the coaches and, you know, the expectations there. And so, you know, it has been a good transition. Plus, you know, he left us a really good group with the senior group. And so that transition has made it easier for me to kind of jump in there and just kind of fill a spot and kind of get motivated and see what we can do from there.
Yeah, you talk about holding those seniors accountable, and I mean, you just mentioned it a moment ago. This is a group, this is a year that it seems like you guys have been waiting for, you know, building this program up for this particular season over the last couple of years. Took your bumps and bruises 2 years ago, really improved last year, and it seems like this is the year that we've been waiting for.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for it because, again, we've got a lot of kids that have a lot of varsity experience. We've got some depth, you know, something we haven't honestly had in the past. It's kind of been a little bit thin, you know, and a lot of these kids have had two, three years of varsity experience. And so, you know, I think that's going to bode well for us coming into the season, you know, so not too overconfident and, you know, they just buckle down and do what they need to. We should be, you know, should have some success.
Again, our guest right now is Coach John Famala with the Emory Sport and Football Team as we talk about off-season workouts. Coach, we'll talk about this past weekend. You guys traveled to Manti, 7-on-7 camp. Something that you mentioned to me off the air, you guys aren't too familiar with this. It's not something that you guys do too often.
No. Ever since I've been coaching, talked to Coach Chris. He's probably been there the longest, seen him in labor. And, it, you know, Coach Jones had never taken him to a 7-on-7 camp. And so, you know, it's the first time we went over there in Manti, and it was a good experience for our kids. A lot of it just to see that competitive atmosphere, and not that they haven't been in it before, but it's a little bit different 7-on-7 versus putting on the pads, and kind of had to explain them, you know, the difference of that, but the intensity and the level of play that needed to be played at those, you know, was good for our kids to experience that. And defensively, again, changing some things, so it helped our kids kind of at least get a feel of what we're trying to do. And, you know, hopefully we can iron out some things and we can only get better from there.
Is it fair to say a 7-on-7 camp is more about implementing X's and O's rather than what your final record is or how you perform against certain teams?
It is. I mean, the thing about a 7-on-7 camp that, you know, we played Manti a couple of times. You know, Manti comes out in a an empty back set, 3x2, and, you know, I can't say I've ever seen Manti in that. So you're going to get some different scenarios where teams aren't traditionally playing, you know, empty back sets and, you know, 2x2 sets that, you know, is a little bit different. But I think for us, defensively, we're trying to implement some things that makes it, you know, some of the concepts, you know, it's not necessarily X's and O's, it's concepts of understanding positions where you need to be and things like that. That was good for us, not necessarily offensively. I thought we did a great job because, you know, we ran a lot of stuff that we run, you know, normally. We only can build from there and add things from there. So it's a little bit different in that way in those 7-on-7 settings.
What impressed you most over the weekend as far as maybe a particular position, a particular player, or a particular aspect? What stood out most to you?
You know, I think, you know, Zach Jorgensen, he throws a really good ball. You know, if he's stayed in the pocket, you know, we can get him to give him some time. Maybe he's a kid that can find an open receiver and really get it there. Colton Butler, I thought he had a good 7-on-7 camp. Ran routes clean, got open, created space. Testing it, the LA out of the backfield. Again, a kid in space, he can move and really shake and bake. And so, you know, it was impressive with him. And then, I mean, we had a lot of guys, seniors, that I thought did well at this camp that, you know, we're expecting hopefully would do well, and they did. So it's good.
You mentioned Zach Jorgensen, and at least from my perspective, Coach, from the broadcast booth, it's always so much fun to watch a kid start as a sophomore at the varsity level and just see how he evolves and how he improves during his time. Zach has gotten a lot bigger physically, and of course that's to be expected, but they say the biggest jump that a kid will make is between that sophomore and junior year. What are some of the things that you believe Zach has improved on past that junior campaign?
You know, I think honestly, just physicality of him. You know, he's not a real, you know, hard-nosed, get-after kind of kid that way. But I think this year you're going to see a little bit of that, where, again, he's not going to be afraid to tuck the ball and run and try to get some positive yards and do some things that way. So physicality-wise, I think, you know, I've seen him in the spring and in the summer so far. You know, he's worked hard to get in the weight room and do some things that way that I think will help him, you know, that way, just to get a little bit of confidence and be able to stay in that pocket and throw the ball when he needed it. When we need him. So.
But he'll definitely have some big targets on the outside. Do you guys plan to be a little bit more balanced between the passing and the rushing attack this season, or is that something that you think will stay relatively similar to what it was under Coach Jones?
You know, I think it has so much success, you know, running the ball. I think we'll continue that trend. And honestly, it's game to game. Truthfully, is teams stack the box and, you know, try to stop our wing backs with Bielli and Cox on the edges. We're going to have to be able to soften it up in the middle with other little dump passes or other things to soften up the defense. And so, you know, I think it's game to game, honestly. But I would say the majority of what we do is going to stay a lot the same. It's, you know, grind it out, get 6-7 yards, as long as we're moving the change. You know, that's a fun type of football for me to watch. Fans maybe don't see it as much because they like to see the ball in the air. They like to see a lot of speed and other things that way. But for us, the controlled game, especially in the type of region we are in, I think that's the way we're going to find success, is controlling the ball and keeping it in our hands and out of their hands as much as we can, and running it, you know, what we do well.
Yeah, strategically, that's definitely fun football to watch. I'm with you on that one, Coach. Before I let you go, what does the remainder of the summer look like for this football team as far as the schedule and when the kids will actually be in pads and out hitting one another?
So we've got a few more weeks of summer camp. We'll be in the moratorium next week through the 4th of July. Following that, we do have a millet camp, a padded camp on the 18th, 18th to the 23rd. You know, barring one thing I did as a coach, we try to get our helmets sent off, get them painted and reconditioned, and I'm getting word back. We may or may not get those back before camp. So things are up in the air right now as far as a padded camp, and so I'm trying to work out some details to see what we can even do there. But that's the plan, is we're going to try to have a padded camp at Millard on the 18th, practice to start on the 1st. And, you know, we'd like to invite any kids listening that want to come and participate with us, come out and, you know, have a good time. We practice 3 days a week on Mondays and Fridays, Tuesdays and Fridays at 7 a.m. And then we're doing kind of some Pascal-y stuff on Wednesdays at 8 at night. So.
Well, Coach, it's popping up quick. I know you're a busy guy, so I do appreciate you taking out the time. And hopefully we'll talk again real soon, Coach.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you.
That's Coach John Famalo of the Emory Sport and Football Team making time for us here on Drive Time Sports as the offseason workouts continue. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
The temperatures are heating up, and nothing goes better with hot summer days than ice cream from KFC and A&W. Take the kids down to KFC and A&W, and they can choose an ice cream cone, root beer freeze, or a polar swirl. And you can get a mug of ice-cold root beer for you. You'll be a hit when you show up at the family picnic with a gallon of KFC and A&W's famous homemade root beer. Or just take the family out to dinner at KFC and A&W for the best burgers in town. Summer is the best time to get to KFC and A&W.
There is nothing better than loading the family in the SUV and heading out on a family vacation. The memories, the fun, and the time spent together. But if the money's a little short this year, Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help. Desert View has signature loans available to help your vacation dreams become a reality. It's as easy as talking to a loan officer. Call Desert View Federal Credit Union today. 687-2472.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport, or if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
Arby's $1 sliders are just smaller versions of their regular sandwiches. They've got the same great meat and cheese, there's just a little less of it on there. That's why they cost less. And can we be honest about something here? If you're getting a regular size sandwich for a dollar somewhere, you shouldn't be there. Something's up with that sandwich.
Arby's, we have the meat.
At participating Arby's for a limited time.
When I was a younger guy, I used to mow my lawn, trim around the edges, fertilize it, keep the watering system working, maintain my equipment. Yeah, I used to do a lot of those things the hard way. Now I do things the smart way. I call Imperial Landscape. They do it all for me, quicker and better than I ever did. Heck, they're done before I can even get my lawnmower out and check the oil. And did I mention Imperial is a whole lot cheaper than the other guys, too? Call Imperial Landscape today at 650-4226. That number again is 650-4226.
This is Trevor Ariza, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Ariza, ahead of the pack. Ariza, reverse slam! An explosive game for Trevor Ariza.
Here's some bad news if you're a Dodger fan. Clayton Kershaw returning home to go see doctors. First reported by the LA Times, Dave Roberts said that Kershaw is dealing with back soreness, not hip issues that have ailed him in the past, but back is never a good thing. The club is hopeful that he's going to make his next start, which would be Friday against the Rockies. He's not only one of the most dominating starting pitchers in baseball, but he has been one of the most durable. And right now, if you take Clayton Kershaw away from the Dodgers, they have no chance in hell of making the postseason in that wild card spot. No chance at all. I mean, seriously, you take away another, 10 wins from the Dodgers, minimum? No way. Because every time that guy's on the mound, he gives you a solid chance of getting a victory. That's bad news for the Dodgers. I definitely got to thank Coach John Famalo for taking out the time to join us on the show today. I'm excited for tomorrow's show. July 1st, free agents in the NBA can start to talk to teams. They can start negotiating. July 8th, they can officially sign. That right there is always tricky because, as we seen last year with DeAndre Jordan, sometimes quirky things can happen, and it can really put squads in a difficult situation. We're going to talk NBA free agency tomorrow on the show. We'll bring in Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com and the Triple Threat Podcast. Also, we are going to talk to Coach Vando of the USU Eastern basketball team. Coach Vando's got a pretty cool opportunity. He is going to be in Rio for the Olympics working as a translator for the Australia women's basketball team. Can't wait to talk to Coach Vando about the opportunity that is put in front of him. And I know he's excited to get to Rio as well. So we'll talk to him on the show tomorrow, and also about the USU Eastern basketball team, which will have a completely different look going into 2016-2017 than they did in 2015. How different? They have one returning player. Coach Vando getting a clean start. One returning player, and that's Alexander Morrell, who really shined for this team late in the year. He got more and more opportunity because of injuries and suspensions, and before the end of the season, this guy was averaging close to a double-double. So we'll talk to Vando about that on the show as well tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. We are just about out of time. Always great to talk basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, middle of the week here on Drive Time Sports, and we got you covered from the local sports front. Also, check out CastleCountryRadio.com. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As a trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
All right, Bud, fly back in your seat.